Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Good morning, good morning. You guys are looking good. Looking good. What a good looking bunch we got here today. Praise the Lord. So excited to be here in church. We're doing our new series that we kicked off last week called My Church. Aren't you glad you can say My Church? My Church. And then you can fill it in with all kind of good stuff. Amen? And so last week we started our series off and it was My Church Empowers People. Amen? You know, the Bible is set up where it's not just a select few who do the ministry. That's not how it's supposed to work. We're all ministers. Amen. All of us are ministers of the gospel. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He empowers us. He equips us. He qualifies us. Amen. And so we can't look at our past and say, oh, God can never use me. You're exactly the person that God wants to use. Amen. Because how many know it's somebody with a past? You can relate to somebody else with a past. Amen. You can say, hey, I know where you've been. And they're going to look at you and roll their eyes and be like, yeah, sure. They're going to be like, yeah, you probably really do know where I've been. Amen. And so we can receive from that. And so God wants to use that mess from your past that we all have. Everybody has it. And you say, well, does that mean I need to get cleaned up first? No, God helps us and God restores us and God forgives us as we go. Amen. God makes us stronger every day. You don't have to be perfect to serve God. If that were the case, only Jesus could serve God. Amen, because He was the only perfect one. We just have to have our hearts turned towards Him and say, Lord, I'm ready to do it your way. I'm willing to do it your way. I love you, and I want to do it your way, and God will use you. Amen. And so last week we talked about My Church empowers people. And so today, this is probably the most important thing about our church. Amen. As if we want to rank it on what's most important, this is the most important one. And it's My Church, you ready? Encounters God. Amen. My church encounters God. And our text scripture for here is Daniel chapter 6, verse number 3. And we've just grabbed a piece of this out of here. And it says, now Daniel so distinguished himself. He so distinguished himself among the administrators. You know, Daniel didn't want to dress like everybody else. He didn't want to look like everybody else. He didn't wear his hair like everybody else. He didn't eat what everybody else was eating. He didn't do what everybody else was doing. He said, I'm going to do what God has for me to do. And it distinguished him above everyone else. And so there are things that distinguish us as a church. How many know there's a lot of great churches right here in Palm Beach County? There's a lot of amazing churches. Churches that are doing amazing things with amazing pastors, amazing people in their churches. They got great worship. There's all kind of great churches. We are so blessed. You know, just this last week, I was at a meeting where they call it Church United, where churches from all over Palm Beach County, everybody gets together, and it's all the pastors and the staffs from those churches, and people just worship and just, you know, say hi to each other and things like that and hear what God is doing in other churches, and it's so powerful. And so there's not a shortage of churches. There's not a shortage of churches. There's great churches. But each church distinguishes itself. Each church has its own thing. Each church has their flavor, you could say. And you know what? We need every church because there's a lot of different kind of people. How many know our church is not for some people? But there's a church that is for them. And so God's going to use all the different churches that preach Jesus. Amen. We got to preach the word. He's going to use all these different churches, but each church has something that distinguishes them. They've got their own thing. They've got their flavor. They've got the way they do stuff. And so we want to make sure that everybody here knows what distinguishes BBC, what we say, hey, this is the kind of church we are. And we're the kind of church that encounters God. We take that very seriously. And so when we say we encounter God, we want to make sure everybody's encountering God. Amen? And so when we think about this, have you ever had telling somebody a story and you're telling them about something that happened, and you're just telling them, and you're just remembering everything, and you're just so passionate about it, or you can remember every taste of that meal, or you can remember every turn of that roller coaster, or every moment of that vacation, and you're trying to tell somebody something just so powerful, and then they're just sitting there like, yeah, yeah. And then finally you just say, oh, you had to be there. You had to be there. Well, you know, a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, as I was ministering, I was talking about some services that we've had here at BBC. And I was talking about, oh, you know, do you remember that time that all the money was flowing everywhere and people were giving away cars and it was just incredible. It was this giving service we had. But it only happened really one time. But I'll tell you what, if you were there, you will never forget that service. How many were there? Raise your hand if you were there. We will never forget that service, will we? I mean, it was just so powerful. I mean, I don't even remember how it started, but all of a sudden people's like, oh, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you this expensive watch. And it was just all over the place. It was so God. It was just the anointing was so strong. And some of you are looking at me like, I don't know. You had to be there. You had to be there. It was so powerful. You can't even explain how it happened or how it started or how it ended or anything. You had to be there. And, you know, and we could say, you know, just a few weeks ago, man, we had a blowout here in the 11:11 service. And, I mean, people were just, the altar was filled with people. And, you know, and it was the end of service. And I was looking at the time. And you know, and I was like, oh, we got to go. We're running out of time. You know, just all this stuff going on in my mind. But just in my spirit, man, the Lord was like, do not close this service without praying for people. And so I was like, okay. So, you know, we had all these people come up. And this one girl, let me see if she's there. I don't like to talk. Well, I mean, I would tell this if she was here either. But this one girl, she went up to Pastor Steve and she was like, what is going on? She didn't know what was going on. The whole altar was filled. We were laying hands on people. People were crying. I mean, just boo-hooing, and just God was touching their hearts. And people down here that we weren't even praying for, they were getting touched by God. And it was just so powerful. And so she went up to him, and she was like, what is going on? Right? And so he tells her, he's like, this is laying on hands. This is the Holy Ghost, right? So she's like, all right. She gets in line right back there. Now, I didn't know that she had said that to Pastor Steve, so I go, and I don't even put my hands on her. And she's like, whoa, like that. She's like, what is that? I mean, her eyes got so big. She's like, what is that? I said, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. And she just hit the floor. She hit the floor. It was powerful. It was, yeah, it's better than drugs. He speaks from experience. It is better than drugs. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I have no idea. Probably, but I have no idea. But, you know, the thing about it is, if you were there, we can tell you all about it. We can say how powerful it was. But then it's like you're not going to get the same reaction and have the same experience as those of us who were there. Amen. And so when we say my church encounters God, we want to make sure everybody's encountering God. We want you to know that it's okay to go up to Pastor Steve and say, what is going on here? You know, because she didn't know what was going on. She'd never seen that before. She'd never been in that environment, never had that experience. And so sometimes those of us who've been in church for a long time, we can be like, oh, everybody knows. No, everybody doesn't know. And sometimes things that you don't know can freak you out. Isn't that the truth? They can just freak you out a little bit, like, whoa, what's going on here? But don't let what you don't know keep you from what God has for you. Amen? Don't let what you don't know keep you from what God has for you. God has an encounter with him for you. And, you know, the gospel was never meant to be stories that you heard. And that's it. Of course, it's great to hear the stories of Paul and on the road to Damascus and Moses with the burning bush and Abraham and all these things. It's so powerful to hear these stories and to hear about the Red Sea parting. It's powerful and it's great, but to you, those are stories. But man, when you have your own story to tell, when you have your own encounter to tell, when you have your own experience with God, that's how it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to just hear stories. We're supposed to be part of the stories. Amen? We're supposed to have our own stories. The gospel isn't just something you hear. It's something you experience. Amen? And we don't want to miss out on that experience. And that's why it's important for us. We have a plan. We have a printout of everything we're going to do every service. I mean, God loves order. The Bible says everything is done decently and in order. We don't show up in here on Sunday at 9:25 and say, so, hey, what are we going to do? We don't do that. You know, we don't come in and say, hey, you know, Pastor Scott doesn't come and say, hey, guys, what songs you guys want to do? We got 5 minutes. What do we want to do? What do we want to do? No, I mean, we pray for this service all week long. We prepare for this service all week. We get ready for this service. But here's the thing. We throw that plan out in a second for what God has. Because you know what? That service where we had that altar call, that wasn't on the plan. There was nobody on the front row going, that's not on the plan. There was nobody going, you don't have time for that. No, there's nobody doing that because we value encountering God. Amen? It's one of our core values as a church. And we will always be that way. And so we want to make sure that everybody has their story to tell. Amen? Everybody has theirs. And you know, the thing that separates Christianity from all the other religions, all the other things, you know, there's a lot of pretty interesting religions out there, you know? And I was at the airport when I was leaving for Dallas a couple weeks ago, and I had to fly, very long story, I had to fly out of Orlando, right? And this is after I got up at 4 a.m, and so did my husband, to take me to the airport in Fort Lauderdale. But then they said, oh, we're sorry, your flight is canceled. So then in order to get where I needed to go, I had to go to Orlando. Anyway, so I'm standing in Orlando, and they've got, I mean, their security is crazy. I mean, it's crazy in Fort Lauderdale, but it's crazier in Orlando. I mean, it's just like this huge, long line. But I saw this whole group of young people, and they were going to Israel. And they were there, and they had this whole, it was mostly girls and a few other people, but they were all wearing like the same kind of outfit. They all had on a dress, they had sleeves to here, the dress went to their knees, then they have black stockings on, then they have black shoes and high neckline. They were Orthodox Jews. And they feel very strongly about what they show and what they don't. You know, and I think it was young, beautiful girls, like probably 16, 17 years old. And I was just watching them and I thought, man, we could learn a couple things from them. Amen. There's some Christian girls that can learn a few things from that. Amen? There's just some things you don't show. Somebody say amen. That's for home. You can show that all you want at home. But, you know, and so I was watching them, and I was just like, man, good for them. That's pretty impressive. Because, you know, the whole culture of the world is very different from that. You know? And so I was saying, man, that's good for them. There's a lot of good ideas in a lot of other religions. But what sets Christianity apart is Jesus said something. He said he would prove who he was. Not just with words, not just with rules, which really that's kind of what that is for those girls. Those are rules. Not just with rules and not just with legalism, not just with great stories. He said he would prove who he was with signs and wonders. Amen. He's the only one that said that. He's the only one that's done that. Amen. Now listen, now don't be all uncomfortable if your arms are showing in here today. All right. I'd be disqualified too because I'm showing too much arm here. I'm just saying that that's a good idea that they have. But let's not get into legalism where if you don't do that, you can't come to church because that's where it gets weird and wrong. But it's a good idea to be modest, right? It's a good idea. So don't get all upset. Some people are like, you're still thinking about that. Let's move on. I'm going to push you forward. It's okay. What you're wearing is okay. You're going to heaven. Amen? God, you know, God's, thank God. Woo! But it's just a good idea. I'm sure all of us have been at Walmart a time or two and said, man, you need to cover that up. Right? I mean, is that not true? My eyes. You know, you ever been at Walmart and just think, man, my eyes, that is painful. That is painful. For my eyes, right? Am I the only one? I mean, that just used to be covered up. I don't even see that. And so it's a good idea. It's not going to determine whether I go to heaven or not. Amen? It's not going to determine whether I love the Lord or not. But it's a good idea. But the thing about it is, Jesus said that he would show who he was. He wouldn't just say who he was. He would prove who he was. And he said he would prove it. He said, these signs will follow them that know me. And there are signs and wonders. And signs and wonders come through encounters with God. They are encounters with God. I mean, I've had several encounters with God. And I know many of you in here have. And I know that God wants us all to have more. Amen? He wants us to have more. And so we want to look and make sure that we're right with the Word. And so here's the importance and why it's so important that we have encounters with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, this is out of the Message Bible, and you can follow along on your Bible app. It says, whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, listen, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free from it. Oh, isn't that good? And so when we see here, when we turn our face to God as Moses did, now this is New Testament. He said he removes the veil. Now in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the veil, whenever it's mentioned, it always represents a barrier between us and God. And that barrier can be lots of different things. It can be a hard heart. It can be sin. Sin puts a barrier between us and God. It hinders us from receiving from what God has for us. Now, the good news is that the blood of Jesus can take care of any sin. Amen? And so that veil, it represents that barrier. And so we want to make sure that we're turning our face to God like Moses did. And it says when we do that, we are face to face with him. He's no longer just a chiseled stone. He's no longer just a story that we've heard. He's no longer this way off presence or somebody we've heard about. But the Bible says that now we are face to face. Oh, isn't that good? That's called an encounter with God. And when that happens, that rigidness, that legislation of law, says that's all removed. We're free from it. That's where life begins, in those kind of experiences with God. And my prayer, and we prayed it right back here this morning, we prayed that barriers would be removed, that you would enter into his presence with ease in this house. Amen? No matter who you are, no matter how you came in, that you would enter into his presence with ease. Amen? And so it's so good to know that when we turn our face to God like Moses did, with just our whole heart, that he removes that veil and he meets us face to face. Another thing that's so important, why encounters are so important, why we can't just have a plan, why we can't just tell the story, why we need these encounters with God, is we need power, not just words. We need power. There's some of you in here today, you are facing situations in your life and stuff going on where just a word, you need the power of God to break things. You need the power of God to remove things. You need the power of God to heal your heart. You need the power of God to open up some doors. I'll never forget a testimony that a friend of mine shared. She's in ministry. She's a pastor's wife. And about 17 years ago, she went through a very, very difficult time. And I won't go into what she went through, but just a very difficult time publicly. She had a moral failure. And she went through this very difficult time, and it was public, and everybody knew, and it was just really, really hard. It was a very hard time. And her and her husband, they stayed together, they worked it out. Now it's 17 years later, they're still married, and God's doing great things in their life. Thank God for God, right? Amen. But I'll never forget her telling a small group of us. She said, I was so broken and so ashamed and so hurt. And she said, and we went to these big meetings. And she said, and they kept preaching about finances and prosperity. And she said, on the inside, I was screaming out, I don't need money. I need God. And she said she would walk out of each of those meetings just so empty and just need, she didn't need another message. She needed the power of God. Amen. There's times when you don't need another message, no matter how phenomenal it is. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. I got to pull it out of you. Come on. I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter how good a message is. It doesn't matter if Kenneth Copeland himself is speaking. There are times when you don't need another message. What you need is the power of God. You need hands laid upside your head is what you need. Amen. You need the anointing. And I know I speak from experience, from an encounter with God. And the encounters are different. God does different things. And sometimes you'll have something, you'll never have it again. The bush only burned once. God only used that one once. Aren't you glad you don't have to sit out in your backyard and go, come on, baby, burn. I need God. Some are like, what's that? You guys remember the bush burned, Moses spoke? It didn't just burn, it spoke. You know, and aren't you glad we don't have to do that? Because God uses different experiences. And some people have this kind of experience, and some people have this kind of experience. The thing is, we need an experience. We need an encounter with a living God, because that's the kind of God we serve. Amen. You're not worshiping a God who's dead. You're worshiping a God who's alive, and his power is alive for you. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, he says, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Sometimes I'm really thankful for that, because, you know, sometimes the message doesn't really go over well. You're like, man, I still got the power of God. Amen? He says, not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power.
Hallelujah.
Amen? I don't need another smart person to tell me something. I need the power of God. How about you? That's what we need. And so you say, why is it important to have an encounter with God? Because there's a whole lot of smart people out there. There's a lot of information out there. You can find out anything. You can find out pretty much anything if you Google it, right? But man, you can't find the power of God on Google. Amen? You can't find, you only find that when you turn your face to Him. When you turn your face to Him. And another reason why an encounter is important. It's not more important, but it's just part of the whole thing. We need the Word and an encounter with God. If you have too much of one, you know, there's an old saying, too much of just the Word, you dry up. Too much of just the Spirit, just the encounters, just the, all, you know, just the different kind of stuff, you get weird. How many ever met anybody like that? You're weird, you're flaky, and you blow up. You blow up. But when we have both, that's what Jesus taught the Word, and He demonstrated the power. He did both. And we got to make sure that we're open to both. Amen? Another reason why an encounter is so important is we need an experience, not just an explanation. Amen? You know, there's a story when Jesus healed the blind man, and the religious people got all bent out of shape. Listen, when there's an encounter with God, the people that are going to have a problem with it are religious people. They're the ones that are going to start casting stones and saying that ain't God and saying you're not this and saying that's not real. It's always the religious people, because the worldly people are just going to be like, hey, that's cool. That's how it was with Jesus. When Jesus healed the blind man, the religious people, the Pharisees, the priests, the rulers of the church at that time were all mad. And they started interrogating everybody. They started interrogating Jesus. Who are you to do this? Who is he that you would do it for him? And then they started interrogating the blind guy. They start saying, well, who do you say this guy is? What's going on here? What are they saying? This isn't part of the plan. It wasn't part of their plan. And so they asked the blind guy, they said, well, what do you have to say? In John 9:17, he says, finally they turned again to the blind man. Now it says again to the blind man. They'd already given him a really hard time. And they say, what have you to say about him? And the blind guy replies this. He says, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. There are things that you will never be able to figure out with God. I don't know how that happened, but what I do know, it happened. Amen. I mean, there are things in our lives and experiences that we've had, just like that money service. I don't know why it happened. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it ended. I don't know where all that money came from. All I know is I was there and it happened. And people were blessed. People were blessed. Actually, after we talked about that, Ron Mata, who is usually in second service, he sits right here, and he came up and he was in that service, and he goes, I'll never forget that service. He said, because I needed a truck. I needed a truck really bad, and we were struggling with money, and Ann was out of town. Somebody's there, rut-row. Ann was out of town, that's his wife. And he said, and I wrote a big old check. And he goes, I didn't know how it was going to work out, but I knew God told me to write that check. He wrote a check for a couple $1,000s, which is really all he had. It was all the money he had for his truck, and he had to get a truck. So he wrote this check for the truck, and he gave it to somebody, and the Lord just spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him. And he wrote that check for the truck, for the check with the money he had for his truck, and he gave it to somebody that the Lord told him to give it to. And he said, I think it was a day or 2 days later, he got a brand new truck. And so religious people would be like, well, how'd that happen? Who are you to get that? You got all this going on in your life. You didn't do X, Y, and Z, and you didn't follow the plan, and you didn't do this. But you know what Ron would say? I don't know how it happened, but he's still driving that truck. Amen. And he told me that. He goes, I'm still driving that truck. And you know, so the thing is that just like with this blind guy, and then, you know, the religious people did it again with the guy at the Gate Beautiful. He was a beggar. He'd been there every day of his life. People brought him there every day. And after he got healed and he was running and leaping and jumping, you know what they said? They gave him a hard time. And they were like, what happened? Why did this happen? And people were like, can't you see he's healed? Isn't that enough? But religious people always want to take God out of it and put rules into it. When we just got to say, you know what, that's an encounter with God. Amen. And I don't have to qualify for those. He qualifies me. Amen. 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 He qualifies me. And so never think like, oh, those things only happen to people that sit in the first row. No, those things happen to anybody that turn their face to God. Amen. Amen. When you turn your face to God, he removes the veil and he will meet you face to face. And so when we think about why it's so important for us to have an encounter, next thing is we need the presence of God, not just the practice of church. How many know, you know, and a lot of times it's, okay, I'm going to come in, I'm going to grab a cup of coffee, and I'm going to miss the first song because I'd rather have coffee. I'm going to miss the first song, I'm going to stand out, I'm going to chit-chat in the foyer for a little bit, and about the middle of the second song, I'm going to come in. Does it sound like anybody? I'm going to come in, and you know, and then, you know, I'm going to wait because I'm not really into that worship stuff. And so I don't really want to sing. So I'm just going to come in. And then I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to put my $5 in the offering. And I'm going to hit Denny's. I'm going to go to Lupita's. Or I'm going to go to, you know, what is another one? What's that smorgasbord place where you eat all, what is it? Golden Corral. You know, and that's church for the day. What's happened? You're in a routine. You're in practice. And that's not enough. That's not enough. You know, we don't sing three songs because we just are killing time. No, we have time of worship because the Bible says to have it. Amen. We have time of worship because the Bible says when you worship, it softens your heart and gets you ready for the word. So it's not just, oh, that's the plan, you know, that's what everybody else does. That's what all the other churches do, so we better do it too. No, that's what the Bible says to do. That's why we do it. And so it's not, you can't just get into that practice where you're like clocking in. Listen, this isn't a you know, an assembly line job. You're just sitting, you know, clonk, clonk. You know, I went to, what's that place? In-N-Out Burger. You know, I'd always heard about In-N-Out Burger, how popular it was, and all the famous people go there. So when I was in Texas, I saw an In-N-Out Burger, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to try this. So I go in there, and there's this guy. They have hand-cut French fries. Delicious. And they're owned by Christians, and so all of their stuff has Bible verses on it, which I thought that was super cool. But anyway, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm by myself. I'm in Texas, and I'm sitting there at In-N-Out Burger, and I'll tell you what, this burger was so good. I can see why they're so famous. But there's this guy, and here's his job. I watched him for about 30 minutes while he takes a potato, he puts it in this thing, he pulls down this lever, and it cuts him into pieces. And he picks up another potato, puts it in the thing, pulls down the lever, cuts it into pieces. And I thought, dear goodness, my, that's got to be a tough job. I mean, that's all that guy did. And he had one, and I was thinking to myself, I bet his left arm muscle is going to be much bigger than his right arm, you know, because it took some effort. Don't let church be like that. Where you just come in, you sing the song, maybe you drink some coffee. No, this is it's more than just practice. It's the presence. That's why church is so important. That's why you don't skip church. That's why you can't get an encounter fully from online church, which I'll just be honest with you, I totally do not think is a God thing. It's one thing to listen when you're out of town or something like that, but to replace church with an online experience, that's not a replacement. That's a counterfeit. Yeah, you're going to get the word, but you're missing out on what God intended church to be. It's the presence. It's the presence of being with other believers. It's the presence of God. I'll tell you, I got a room in my house that I pray in. I got a chair that I sit in, I pray in. I got all kind of great worship music that I play, but I have never experienced at home what I've experienced with you. Never. Never. I've had some pretty great experiences, but I have never experienced at home what I've experienced with you. Don't think that's a substitute. It is not. And churches that are doing it, that's their thing. And it's reaching people that probably maybe can't come to church for whatever reason, but it's not. It is not the same thing. It is not comparable, in my opinion, because we need the presence. Acts 2:28 says, "You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." We don't want to just come in and have the routine. We want to seek an encounter with God. And that encounter can come through a message. It can come through a worship song. It can come in so many different ways. But it can't come if you're just slicing potatoes. Because you're not, your face is not turned where it needs to be turned. Amen? And so how do we prepare for that encounter? Because there's preparation. Yesterday, Pastor Steve and I had the tremendous privilege of being part of a tribute to Norval Hayes. How many old-timers know who Norval Hayes is? You guys know who Norval Hayes is. He was on Brother Hagin's board. He's just one of those old, he's in that era, that general, the Brother Hagin, Norval Hayes, Lester Summerall, Charles Capps, Jim Caseman, Kenneth Copeland, Smith, he's in that crew. He's in that group. And he's 89 years old now. And he has served the Lord for 56 years. He has written books, and he has helped shape us. He's been here to BBC years ago many times. And he has helped shape the faith of our church through his teaching. And here's something that people were talking and sharing testimony of Norval Hayes. And here's one thing that one of them said that Norval taught them. It was Phil Driscoll. How many know Phil Driscoll? He was there. Powerful man of God. And he said that he learned from Dr. Norval Hayes that the Spirit of the Lord moves through atmosphere. There is an atmosphere that you can set for the Spirit of God to move. Just like in 2 Corinthians it says, when you turn your face like Moses did, there is an atmosphere that we can set to allow the Spirit of God to move. And I want to make sure that we all can set ourselves, can turn our faces, can be ready for an encounter with God. So you're not just hearing the stories, you are part of the stories. Amen? You are part of the story. And so one of the things in order to prepare for an encounter with God, Matthew 13, 14, and 15 says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but not perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. You know, churches are filled with people. There's good word going out. There is an atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in you. There's an atmosphere in every service because we prepare for these services. And the Spirit of God is here. But you can be in that same service and you can be the person who hardly hears. You have your eyes closed because your heart is hard. And there's lots of different reasons why a heart can be hard, especially for a move of God. Sometimes people's heart is calloused over to a move of God because you feel like stuff you've seen in the past was fake. Let me just let you off the hook. Some of it probably was. That's just the truth. Some of it probably was. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Copeland says this. There are more what he calls fruitcakes around his ministry than anybody else's. He says that. He says there are more fruitcakes around his ministry than anybody else's. And he says, you know why? Because there's a move of God here. And whenever there's a move of God, you're always going to have error. You're always going to have fruity pebbles. You're always going to have that. And so if you've calloused your heart, like, here we go again, been here, seen this. Didn't that lady get prayed for last week? She looks the same to me. Why does she keep going up week after week after week? What has God got to do? My goodness. These are thoughts you have. Don't look at me like, oh, we're all human. But don't callous your heart for a move of God because of error or just ignorance on the part of someone else. And let's not judge that person. That's between them and God. I'm not going to get to heaven and God say, listen, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? No, he's going to say, what about me? What about me? I don't want to get to heaven and God be telling me all these stories and go, oh, you had to be there. I want to get to heaven and be like, I was there. I was there when this happened and this happened. I was there when God spoke to my heart. I was there. And so don't have a calloused heart because of what you've seen. Let God soften your heart. Amen? And so Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Listen to this next part. And break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Let go of all that stuff. Plow up your own heart. Tell the Lord, I don't care what I've seen. I don't care where I've been. I don't care what so-and-so did. I don't care that so-and-so's been in every one of these services and I saw him at Walmart cursing somebody out. I don't care. I'm going to plow up my own heart because I want an encounter with God. I don't want to just hear the story. I want to have my own story. Amen? And that's why when people say to me that they don't believe in God and they start saying all this stuff, I'm just like, let me just stop you right there. I have seen too much. I have been there. I was there when my mother, who was paralyzed on one side of her body, got up and walked across the front of the church. I was there. And it was my mother. And I knew she wasn't faking because I knew she couldn't walk. Because we were the ones going to her house, lifting her up and taking her into the bathroom and doing all that kind of stuff. Listen, if she could have walked, she would have walked. But one night, as long time ago, we were meeting in a hotel on Wednesday nights, and we had a guest speaker. I think it was Robert Slearden. Was it Robert Slearden? I don't remember who it was. And my mom was from a Baptist background. She didn't believe in healing. She felt like if you had something on you, it's because God was teaching you something. But she came because her son was a pastor and she was supposed to be at church. That was the only reason why she was there. So nobody would talk about her. And she loved the Lord, but she just didn't understand. And I tell you, he laid hands on her and we were standing there. We were all standing there. You were there, Steve. We were all standing there. And all of a sudden, she got up and she walked across the front of the stage. The floor, right? Like right here. And all, my brother Mike, my sister-in-law Donna, Scott, and we were all just like, because we know our mom. It was hard to believe. And you know what? She never went back to the way she was. She used a cane from then on. But she walked. I was there when I broke my arm, my elbow, and the doctor said, you'll never be able to straighten your arm out totally. You're never able to lift anything over 5 pounds. My immediate thought was, I won't be able to go bowling. You know? Back then, I really liked bowling. I was like, man, am I going to be able to go bowling? This stinks. I was there when the doctor told me that. And I was also there the day that I had hands laid on me and my arm straightened out, and it's never been the way it was. I was there. So when people start telling me, like, they don't believe in healing, and they don't believe in the power of God, and they don't believe in raising hands, they don't believe in speaking in tongues, they don't believe in all that, I'm just like, nup, 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 nup. You're talking to the wrong person. I have seen too much. I was there. I saw it in my own eyes. I felt it in my own body. You cannot tell me that it is not real. I was there. I saw the signs and the wonders. I know that God is real. Amen? I know. And so we need to just plow up our own hearts. And whatever's keeping us from turning our face to God, we need to plow it up and say, it's time for me to seek the Lord until he comes. You need to underline that part, highlight it. Until he comes. You don't seek God, you don't go, all right, God, let's do it. Nothing happened. I'm out of here. No, you seek the Lord until he comes. Amen? And so how do we do that? There's three things I want to give you before we close up here. Number one, you got to be desperate for a move of God. You got to be desperate. How many got things in your life, man, you are desperate for them to change? Probably all of us. We're desperate for these things to change. And we've tried the wisdom way. We've tried the steps. And we've tried this. And we've tried that. And we're just like, man, I need the power of God. We need to be desperate. We can't be like, nah, take it, I'll leave it. Oh, I hope church is good today, but if it's not, no biggie. No, we need to come in here every day saying, man, I'm going to get a word from God. I'm going to have an encounter from God. I love when people text me after service and say, man, you read my mail. I'm like, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost reading your mail. I love when somebody comes up to me and starts saying, man, I really didn't need to hear that. When you said this and this, I'm thinking to myself, did I say that? I don't remember him saying that. But that's the Holy Ghost getting to you what you need to hear. I love that. Because it's not me. It's the power of God. Amen? It's the power of God. We need to be desperate. The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Next part, for they will be filled. You walking around empty? Get after God. Amen? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. We got to get to the point where we're saying there is nobody and nothing is going to help me but God. And I'm going to turn my face to him and I'm going to wait until he moves. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to give up on God. I'm going to wait. Because you know what? You may come in at one service and you got to keep coming. I didn't experience things like that with God. I remember coming into church and my brother talking about praying in tongues and all this. And I would just be like, oh, dear Lord, help me. When's this going to end? How many times are they going to sing that song? I can't do it again. I just can't. I mean, that was me. That was me. But you know what? I kept coming. I kept coming because I was empty and hurt and broken. And I could see in the lives of other people. I could see in the life of my brother that God had done something. And I was like, I don't know how God changed him so much, but I need what he did to him. I need him to do it to me. And so I just kept coming. I didn't understand it. I wasn't into it all the time because our flesh, you know, when you first start coming in, you got to train your flesh because your flesh is used to this. You know, used to constantly getting what you want. But sometimes what you want is not what you need. Amen. Sometimes what you want is not what you need. So just keep coming. Keep putting that part of you down and saying, Lord, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to stick it out. Next week when I don't feel like coming, I'm going to come anyway because I'm going to stick it out. Because I'm waiting on God. I guarantee you, God will encounter with you. I guarantee it. Amen. I know he will because I've seen it. Amen. Next thing is humility. We got to be desperate. We got to be humble. Don't come in here telling God how to move. Amen. Don't come in here telling God how to do his job. And here's how we do that. We say, I'm not going to do that worship thing because, you know, that's just not my thing. Here's newsflash. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. And humility says, I'm going to do what God says to do. God says to come into his presence with hands raised and worship him. So why do people raise their hand? They're obeying the word. They're obeying the word. They're setting an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in their life. Because we're not saying, you know what, the worship part, you know, I really love church. I have heard people say this. You know, I really love church. I love the teaching. It's awesome. So I just come for that. Now, true, the teaching is awesome.
Amen.
Amen. True. Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. Amen. But you're missing out on what's going to help you get more of the teaching. Or I hear people say, you know, I really love singing. I love to come in here and sing, but I can't even stay awake during that message, so I got to go out and get a coffee. I've heard people say that too, right to my face. But you know what? They're not telling me anything I know because I can see you. So I already know that you're like, I see you. But you know what I told that person? I'm just like, that's your flesh. Your flesh wants to be entertained. Your flesh wants to turn the channel every 2 seconds. Your flesh doesn't know how to sit still because you don't make it. Listen, you're going to tell me that to my face? I'm going to tell you the truth. That's your flesh. And you need to put that part of you down, and you need to put your butt in a pew, and you need to listen to the whole word because that's what you need.
Amen?
Amen? And so it's when we're talking about humility, we got to say, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm going to do it. I'm desperate for God. You know, there's a desperation in the body of Christ now that I don't see that, not to be like, oh, back in the old days, but, you know, back in the old days where we were constantly listening to teaching. We're constantly listening. We weren't so consumed with being entertained. In our cars, we had teaching going on. We were hungry for, you would go to meetings and they would last for hours. You know how long a Kenneth Copeland teaching goes? He don't do an hour like he does on TV. In real life, those meetings are like 3 hours long. They're like 3 hours long. Exactly. You got to want it. And you got to want it not your way. You got to want it God's way. And that's humility. Humility says, I don't get this hand thing, but if the word of God says to raise my hands, I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you something. The word of God does say it. It says it in the Old Testament. It says it in the New Testament. It says, lift up holy hands. Amen. And so humility says, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. If God says to sing the song and sing it over and over again, and that's how you enter, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. If God says to keep my butt parked on the pew so I can hear the word and not be all over the place, I'm going to do it because I'm humble and I'm desperate. And the last thing is repenting. There is a place for repenting in our lives. Don't let anybody tell you different. Repentance, wanting the work of God more than anything else. Psalms 51, 10 through 13, Peter actually touched on this in the book of Acts. He was quoting it, and he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." Listen to this part. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you." Amen. There's a time where we need to repent for things, because when we walk in here, here's the good news, and don't ever be hesitant to repent. God's always crazy about you. He always loves you. He will never be angry with you. How many know there's a difference when we, like if somebody does you wrong, how many have ever had somebody do you wrong? How many need to raise both hands? Because it's just so bad, so bad. But how many know when you find out about it and you got to go to them? How many know that's one way of doing it? But when that person comes to you first and they come with a softness and a grief about what has happened, and they come to you and they try to make it right, how many know you're going to have two totally different attitudes with that person? The thing with God is when we come to him, that's how he is. He is loving and kind and merciful in receiving and accepting and restoring of us. Don't ever hide stuff from God. Bring it right to him. Because number one, he already knows about it. Amen. He already knows. He was there. Right? He was there. And so he already knows. So when we go to God with, don't ever hesitate to repent. Because repentance, it keeps everything clear. How many have ever had a relationship where something's going on, but one person doesn't know, and it's just, it makes everything awkward, and it's just weirdness, right? When you don't repent to God, you bring that into the presence of God. And as God hasn't changed, you've changed. And that's why when we come into his presence, let's just let everything God take care of it. Let's let God do what God does. He forgives. He restores. You say, well, but. No, there are no well buts. He forgives and restores no matter what it is. When you bring it to him, he forgives it and he restores you. And then it's, let's start fresh. Let's start fresh. And we've all done it. We've all done it, I bet. We've been in the presence of God with guilt for something we've done that we haven't taken to God. And it's just not the same as when we just say, Lord, you were there, you saw it, I repent, I turn my back on it, I'm sorry, forgive me. How many know it's two different experiences? And so if we want that encounter with God, a way that we need to prepare ourselves, get ourselves ready, is let's be desperate. Man, there's some marriages, you're desperate. The only thing that's going to save it is God. There's some financial situations, you're desperate. There's some mental situations, some addiction situations, some just life situations. There's no Band-Aid for it. You need the power of God on it. That's the only thing that's going to change it. It's the only thing that's going to help. We got to get desperate for God. Let's be humble. Let's not walk in here saying, all right now, oh, I don't like this song. Stupid song. Can't stand this song. No, let's be humble. Say, hey, it's not my favorite song, but I'm going to sing it, Lord. I'm going to give it all I got. Because that's a song that they're singing. Amen? And I know you can use anything to help me get into your presence. Let's be humble. Say, Lord, move however you want to move. You want to have us. You know, I remember one service where the guest speaker told us to march around the thing. And I was just like, are you kidding me? What in the world are we doing? I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. But by the time I got about right there, I was like, I mean, God just touched me. God just touched me. Sometimes, you know, things are not what you want them to be. You know, every time a move of the Spirit happens and people start laughing, I mean, that's really not my thing. But I got to be humble and say, Lord, if that's what it's going to take to heal me, let's do it. And you know what's so funny? That's exactly what God used to heal me years ago. Something I totally wasn't into, just thought, are you serious? This is church. But I was just like, Lord, have your way. He did. He healed me. I was never the same. Sometimes what's taking you out of your comfort zone is exactly what you need. Yeah. Amen? Let's be humble. Let's be humble. Let's be desperate. And let's make sure we don't let stuff get in between us and God. Sin separates. But forgiveness and restoration draws us back together. That's why Jesus gave his blood on the cross, so that sin wouldn't have the power to keep you separate from God. So don't ever hesitate to come to the Lord when you got stuff in your life, because all of us do. And that's why Jesus came. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we desire in our hearts to have an encounter with you. And so, Lord, we take this moment right now to plow up that calloused area of our heart, to just make sure that everything is right with you. And so just before we move on, just every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. You say, why do we do this? I do this so that if someone's making a very important decision, they don't have the distraction of you looking around at them. They don't have the distraction of wondering, oh, who's gonna see me? If we all have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, they can know that God will see them. And that's what's most important. Because we all know that so often we're more concerned about what other people are doing than what we're doing. And that's why we do this. So every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, and you say, I want to have an encounter with God. I need to start with an encounter with Jesus. I've never given him all of me for all of him. I've never said, Jesus, come, be the Lord of my life. But today, I want to do that. If that's you, with nobody looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I see your hand. I want to give the Lord all of me, my mess ups, my screw ups, all of me, every part of me. I just want to give it all to him. And I want to receive back his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his redemption, his restoration. I want to receive the life of God in me. That's you. Join this other person who raised their hand. Anybody else? Or maybe you're here today and you say, my heart is calloused. My heart is hard. And I just want to say a prayer, because all of us probably got a little bit of rough edge. So I just want to say this prayer for all of us. I'm going to just pray for you. Father, I pray for every person in this room today. The Lord, that you would help us to plow up the callousness of our hearts. Maybe some grudges or things that have happened to us in the past, even in church. The Lord, that you would just help us to see past all of that. Father, we desire that nothing be in the way of us encountering you. Lord, we desire our own story. We desire an experience with you. And so just like Moses, we turn our face to you. And we thank you that you remove the veil. You remove the barriers. And you meet us face to face. Oh, I just thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray for the person who raised their hand. Lord, I thank you that I know them. And I know that they know you. And I pray that as they keep making steps towards you, that you become bigger and greater and you fill their life just like you said you would. Oh, I just thank you, Lord, for your power in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo, isn't God good? He is good. He's so good. Let's receive our offering. What do we say here at BBC?